Tommy, if we get sued for that, I'm blaming you. Anyway, welcome to the Toe Meets Leather podcast, everybody. I'm Logan, and we're going to be making our picks for week six here. Today, I've got Tommy, Andrew, and in lieu of the UT hater Nigel, I have Mike Cadger. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm great. I am the UT alum and fan, and I carry the banner for anybody who dislikes the Big Orange Nation.
Well, I don't think we got any haters here. I mean, you missed Nigel. We're having some trouble with him right now. I don't know. We do have to play y'all at the beginning of next year. Am I right? I believe that's right.
I think so.
Yeah. The first game in the new Arthur Blank Memorial Coliseum.
How much of my tax money went into that?
And Home Depot's colors are orange and white too. So.
Oh. I can vouch for that one.
So are you saying that you guys are going to have a home field advantage in your home city of Atlanta over there?
Okay. We may.
All right. Well, we're going to kick off regardless. We're going to get into our picks for week six. There aren't as many exciting matchups this time around, especially after last week where you had three top 10 games. But there are some stirrings, especially in the SEC, of big games going on. We're going to start off Alabama at Arkansas. So Alabama, again, if you've been hiding under a rock, they're the top team in the nation. There's very little doubt. They kind of kicked UK to the curb last week for homecoming. They're going on the road to Arkansas. And to be fair, Arkansas has pulled off quite a few surprises this year. They are very talented at running the ball, and they have had some good runs with turnovers. But overall, this is one of those teams where, you know, the emotions get high. It's hard to say exactly how things are going to play out. Andrew, I'm going to start with you. I know you're not huge on the Hogs. Where do you stand?
You know, it's in Fayetteville in Arkansas, which is always going to be an advantage, but I mean, like we've kind of said a bunch of times, I think this may be one of the most talented top-to-bottom teams Nick Saban's had at Alabama, which is really tough to say considering the man's won four national titles. But, you know, Alabama just – I mean, every game they just seem to get better and better and better. And Arkansas, they're all right on defense. They're not that great. I think the maturation of Jalen Hurts is really helping Alabama, just allowing them to be able to do some different things on offense. And – I just think it's a steamroller. I think there's really not much there that's really going to stop this Alabama team. It might be close, but I just don't think that Arkansas's got the talent or the horses to really keep it that close.
All right, Tommy, who are you picking and why is it Alabama?
I don't know what you want me to say. Alabama's going to win. It's not going to be close. And that's the end of it.
Well, thank you for your honesty. Now, Mike, you actually sent me an outline, which is very professional of you. But I know as a Tennessee fan, this is tough for you to do, but why don't you give us your details as why you're picking the way you are?
Yeah, you know, the SEC West teams, none of them have more than one SEC loss coming into week six. And the SEC West is the toughest of the two divisions. And while Alabama is number one in the SEC West and Arkansas is last in the SEC West, don't be fooled. There's isn't much difference between them as it appears. The SEC West is just so strong. You know, the only thing going against Alabama is that we all know that running the table is extremely difficult, even with the best teams. And Alabama knows that, you know, firsthand. I think Alabama ought to win this pretty handily, but it's not a game that Alabama can take for granted. I'm going to pick, you know, Alabama by 12, but I think it's going to be a tough, close game.
Well, we did see last week, I'm picking Alabama, if you couldn't guess, because yeah, Alabama fan. But we did see, last year, Arkansas gave them a close game for about a half, and that was in Tuscaloosa. which is never an easy place to play. But at the end of the day, the depth of Alabama is what got them, you know, the win. And I think you're going to see a very similar matchup here. You know, is it going to be close? Probably for a half. Will Arkansas win? I severely doubt it. It also just comes back to Andrew saying again and again and again, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. But the best does not lose very often. All right. Next up, let's go on down the list. We're going to talk about the Red River rivalry, Texas at Oklahoma. So, Texas.
It's at the State Fair in Dallas.
Yeah, but technically it's. Okay, yeah. Anyway, it's always at the State Fair in Dallas, but technically it's this year it's Texas at Oklahoma, technically. Are you okay with that explanation, Andrew? We good? All right, fine. So the short version is Texas has been up and down all year. They've clearly got a lot of talent on offense, and we kind of talked about it in our preseason jive. They've got talent everywhere. They just don't have a lot of experience. Oklahoma was supposed to be one of the most talented teams in the nation. They lost to Houston and to Ohio State, which, to be fair, are not slouches. They bounced back last week against TCU on the road. So they're looking to make a statement with the rest of their games in the Big 12. Because they could still – none of those losses they have so far are in the Big 12, and they want to make a statement against their rival and in the conference. This is still their conference to lose. Tommy, I'll start with you. Texas, Oklahoma, who you got?
You know, this game, I've actually been to the Texas State Fair, and it is a wild experience if you guys have never been. Definitely go get yourself a corny dog. But on game day, it's the amount of Texas and Oklahoma fans in one location is incredible. The stadium's usually filled 50-50 regardless of the year. Texas fans have been coming out even though it's been bad. And when they were dominant, there was still plenty of Oklahoma fans there. So there's never really a home field advantage. It's just loud and wild there. They play at the Cotton Bowl, which is pretty much the only game they play there outside of the Cotton Bowl itself. I think it's going to be Oklahoma because I think Shane Buechele is still trying to figure out exactly where he fits in on this offense. I mean, he's having a great year with 959 yards, 8 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions as a true freshman at Texas, the first ever. So he's doing really well. But Baker Mayfield has still had a solid year with 9 touchdowns and 2 interceptions and over 1,000 yards rushing. And then he's got Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine backing him up at running back. So they've got plenty of weapons on their side, and I think that's going to end up being the difference. Is that Oklahoma just has more weapons that are more mature on their side.
All right. And that's to be fair, that's true. But we did see last year how that doesn't necessarily equate to a win in a big rivalry like this. Texas came out of nowhere last year and actually defeated Oklahoma to everyone's surprise. That was their one blemish last year. Mike, I'm going to go to you. Who do you have in this matchup?
Well, I think it's going to be Oklahoma by 15. Texas looked awful in its Big 12 opener with Oklahoma State, which, by the way, I never understood the reason to go to college in Oklahoma. Well, except to play football or to be ready to move out of the state and get a job other than being a cowboy or an oil rig roughneck. Anyways, Oklahoma is now ranked 20 while Texas dropped out of the top 25. And I believe the best thing that Texas cheerleaders can do is hold up signs bragging about their SAT scores. And I'm being kind.
Do I sense a bit of bitterness from the loss last year? Is that what this is about?
Could be. I do like Austin. It's a great city. But, you know, this is a football game. Not a kegger.
Man, ZB Tahiti is where it's at. But yeah, I'm not going for a football game. Andrew, I guess it's your turn. Who do you have in this matchup?
You know, I feel like this is getting to be the same refrain year in and year out. It's another Red River shootout. It's another Charlie Strong is coaching for his job. It's another who should Texas look at when they inevitably fire Coach Strong at the end of the year. You know, unfortunately, I don't know if lightning can strike twice. You know, Oklahoma's the more experienced team, the team that's been there before. You know, Texas got tons of talent, but it's young talent. They've lost some close games, and then, you know, the game just the collapse against Oklahoma State. You know, you don't want to count them out. I think it'll be closer than a 12-point game, but I don't think Texas is able to do it, and I think Charlie Strong's seat just heats up that much more.
Yeah, but we've seen that happen before. I hate games like this because it's so obvious that I should pick Oklahoma. But Oklahoma has screwed me over so many times. It's like every time I pick Oklahoma, oh no, the other team ends up winning the match. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. Because I really want to pick Oklahoma. It's so obvious. But if I pick them, they're going to find a way to lose. Everybody else is going Oklahoma. I guess I'll take the boring pick. I'll go with Oklahoma. So that makes it simple. All right, now let's try not to agree on all the games from this point on in the cast. Next up, Andrew, we're looking at your team, and this is the only reason this game is on this list, Army at Duke. So Duke has got one big win in their season, which was at Notre Dame. For the most – other than that, though, they've really struggled. I think it's on the defensive side of the ball where they've really had the biggest weakness. Meanwhile, Army's off to their best start of the season, started 3-0, and they're trying to get back on track here against a Duke on the road. I'd like to say that Duke is a tough place to travel to, but that's a lie if you've ever been to their football stadium.
That's newly renovated Wallace Wade Stadium.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do they have seats now?
They do. They took the track out as well.
Whoa. Wait, where the hell? Where are they going to do track and field then?
You know, I don't really know. It's Duke. They'll find somewhere.
Have they fixed the field? The running of the tape that way Tommy doesn't have to like get the film from one side of the room and then run it all the way across. Anyway, all right. We are supposed to talk about football here. Andrew, it looks like you've got more inside information than I realized. Why don't you stop picking your nose and tell us who's going to win this game?
You know, Duke lost to Virginia last week, and it was really blown out by Virginia. But the big thing that hurt him in that game was the quarterback threw 5 interceptions and gave up a strip sack fumble for a touchdown in the end zone. You know, my heart really, really wants to pick the Black Knights because I really like Army. I think Jeff Monken's done a great job trying to build that program into some level of respectability. Unfortunately, I think that outside of Duke making the same kind of mistakes they made against Virginia, I think that Duke's going to be able to do enough to win this game and shut down Army enough running the ball. You know, I think that's what's going to hinge on. If Duke can protect the football, I think that they win it pretty handily. If you start seeing turnovers like they did last week, interceptions and fumbles, I think Army can stick around and maybe steal it at the end. But
wow, no confidence in your own team. My gosh, has it come to this now? You're already siding with Navy. You've surrendered.
You know, it's not even that. After watching the Navy Air Force game this weekend, I think Air Force might be the favorite for the Commander-in-Chief trophy this year.
Oh, times change so quickly. All right, Mike, you've actually got a pretty compelling argument for Army, it looks like.
Well, Duke lost to UVA 34-20, and that snapped UVA's 17 road game losing streak. And Duke's quarterback made headlines by being sacked so hard that he was flipped over and, you know, like a baton in a majorette's hands. So Duke's got that going for them. But I would say no one wants to be on ESPN for being cartwheeled. Duke, by the way, Duke just announced that it's designated safe spaces where men can go to contemplate their toxic masculinity. I don't think you're going to find any of the Army players, you know, going into that safe space. The Army guys are tough, and they have high SAT scores. Although Duke shocked with the win over Notre Dame, quite notable, it's Duke's only win other than North Carolina Central. Army, 3-1, that one was won and lost in overtime, started with his first 3-0 season in 20 years. And they thrashed University of Texas at El Paso 66-14. Look for Army to win this, Army by 10, or forfeit if Duke replaces its football program with a safe spaces program in the next week.
I would like to see that. Tommy, what is your stance in this matchup?
If Duke replaced their team with the safe spaces, I'm going to pick the safe spaces over Duke's football team the way they've been playing recently. Because, like was mentioned, their last four games were Wake, Northwestern, Notre Dame, and UVA, all four of which teams have played pretty poorly recently. You know, their one win over Notre Dame was a field goal win over them. And Notre Dame is a collapsing team that seems to be worse and worse as the weeks go on. Northwestern has struggled heavily. I mean, their one crowning achievement this season so far is beating Duke, and Wake's pretty bad. So I'm going to go with Army right now just for the sheer fact that Duke set up for a collapse. The other interesting thing about Duke is their next four teams are against Louisville, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, and UNC. And then actually they finish with Pitt and Miami. So it is possible that Duke could finish with only two wins on this season.
Now, I think I can't see Andrew's camera right now, but I'm assuming he would want to point out that A, Wake Forest isn't as terrible as everybody's making them out to be this year, and B, Northwestern did just beat Iowa, so they're not totally crap. But you're not wrong. Duke is terrible. Gosh, Andrew, are you the only person picking Duke? Damn. I can't believe that. Yeah, I guess part of me has got to go. I want to go with my heart, but logic states that Army just doesn't have the talent at the end of the day. I mean, Duke might be terrible and they might not be play calling correctly, but their biggest weakness is on defense. And then Army's in a similar way. So I guess it would become a shootout at the end of the day. But I think because of the recruiting restrictions that Army kind of has, I think Duke gets a slight edge and they'll actually end up coming out on this in the top in this matchup. So I'll take Duke. This will be a weird one to watch. I'm excited to see how that'll play out. All right, boys. It's time to talk about Georgia Tech again. How are we going to screw up this week? We're going on the road to Pitt. We came off of a loss at Miami that was really only two touchdowns away. And, hey, look, we fumbled two times on the 20, and Miami was able to score defensive touchdowns off that. So maybe that would have changed the outcome. Meanwhile, Pitt was a dark horse coming into this year. Their only serious loss, or maybe their only loss, I didn't actually check. Their only loss is at UNC. So who is playing?
Oklahoma State.
Oh, that's right. They did play Oklahoma State. So, yeah, they've played very well overall. So this is going to be an interesting matchup, I suppose. Our hopes are not high. Tommy, do you have faith? Do you want to? Are you back to believing in Georgia Tech?
You know, I think Georgia Tech's one saving grace is that our rush defense has actually been pretty solid this whole year, and Pitt loves to run the ball. I think it's not possible to really stop James Conner, but I think we'll be able to slow him down heavily. That being said, if the offensive line doesn't block, we're not going to score any points, so Pitt ends up winning 14-0 or something like that. I still have Pitt.
You had me excited for a second there. All right, Mike.
Well, you know, neither team is ranked in the top 25, but this is a very important game. Georgia Tech played much better than the 35-21 loss against number 14 Miami. Both teams have 3-2 records, but Georgia Tech has a much tougher schedule. And I'm going to say it's Georgia Tech by 8.
Wow. I don't know. Andrew, do you think, like Mike, Georgia Tech has played a tougher schedule?
You know, I think they have. I think Tommy's really hit it on the head. Is these are two teams that really like to run the ball, that they're much more comfortable running the ball, keeping the ball on the ground, moving the chains. You know, it'll be interesting to me to see, having watched Pitt against North Carolina, to see what they did. They played a lot of unbalanced on offense. They shifted the tackle over. North Carolina really didn't adjust to it until late in the game. So that'll be the thing for me, is how well Georgia Tech can adjust to that unbalanced or whatever wrinkle that Pitt offense really kind of tries to show. You know, and then I think it's going to be – Georgia Tech ran the ball against Pitt pretty well last year for what was a terrible Georgia Tech offense. So, you know, I can see Georgia Tech winning it. You know, obviously if we turn the ball over like we did last week, it doesn't matter. But if we control the football, not turn the ball over, and run it like we want to, I think Tech could win it by a touchdown or two.
All right. Yeah, and this is totally heart. I've been trying to argue with my heart and logic, but, hey, I'm sticking on this boat until it hits the bottom of the ocean. I got Georgia Tech, man. Like, it's ruining my record for picking games the past 2 weeks, but I got Georgia Tech. I see Elizabeth's over there. Do you want to stick around and pick our next game? We got Virginia Tech at UNC. I guess that's a no. She doesn't want to come in? Okay, that's fine. All right, so like I said, guys, Virginia Tech at UNC. Virginia Tech, you haven't really heard much of them after what happened at Bristol, but they're doing all right. They come out, they're still one of those teams in the Coastal. They can come out and make waves, and as we all know, the ACC is just bipolar as all get out. You know, one team can be up next 1 week and then down the next. UNC obviously coming off a high note, big win at Florida State, one with which we will never live down. I'm sure if Elizabeth were here, which she kind of is, she would never let us forget that we picked Florida State instead of UNC. Anyway, UNC's got the talent on offense. Virginia Tech's a defensive team, but they've got a lot of talent as well. Andrew, start with you. You want to tell us why UNC will win this time?
The thing to me, this is Virginia Tech's first big test other than the Tennessee game. You know, they really kind of played some easy teams, and they really killed themselves against Tennessee with losing five fumbles. You know, Gerard Evans has adjusted well to that new offense at Virginia Tech. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, the North Carolina defense has really kind of come on in the second half against Pitt and played respectably against Florida State. You know, they're putting some tough situations. You know, I think it'll be I think Carolina will probably win it. I think it'll be a close game. I don't think you're going to see one really run away from it. I think being at home is going to help Carolina. I think as they've gotten 4-1, I think, you know, the Tar Heel Nation has started to really buy into the team a little bit more. The crowds are kind of coming out. Not sure if it'll be that loud, but I definitely think that it'll help Carolina out. You know, Trubisky to me has really kind of had an underrated season. He's in the top 5 in the country in completion percentage. He's throwing the ball really well. Switzer's having a great year on the outside. They've got a good set of receivers. I think Carolina win it, but I think it'll be a fight to the end.
Blink twice if you're being held at gunpoint. All right. Mike, I'll turn it over to you. Who do you got, Virginia Tech at UNC?
Well, you know, Virginia Tech is at 3-1, and they gave Tennessee quite a scare. But they've got a military band. It is the one of only 3 college ROTC regimental bands, the other being Texas A&M and North Georgia College. But these guys have the cojones to call themselves the Heidi Tidies. So they get my nod. UNC is 4-1, but I think it's overrated at number 17. They've had no upsets and nothing outstanding of note. I'm going to say that it's going to be Virginia Tech by 2. And with that, I'll give you a little bit of trivia. It is a school wrapped in nonsensical nostalgia, such as its official cheer of Hokey, hokey, hokey high. Text, text, VPI. Solar X, Solar I. Polytext, Virginia I. Ray, Rye, VPI. What the hell that means, I don't know. But, you know, what is a Hokey? I don't know either.
I've never figured that out.
Their mascot is a turkey, which, you know, puts fear in the hearts of all kinds of worms and other kinds of grubs. So I think that Virginia Tech at UNC, I think Virginia Tech is going to take this. And I think it'll be a close game. But I think they've shown that they can actually play with tough teams. I don't think University of North Carolina has shown that they can do that.
To be fair, I think you might have missed when they beat FSU last week. Or are you just saying that FSU is not as good as people thought they were?
I don't think FSU is nearly as good as what they're rated. And, you know, that was the next, you know, team of FSU and Miami, but I think FSU is way overrated.
Okay, fair enough. I just wanted to put that in there because I can't see the camera, but I'm assuming we're getting stares from over in Andrew's direction. Tommy, VT, UNC, who you got?
You know, right now, I think VT's the key stat for them this year is that they're at 90% red zone success rate. You know, they've scored, when they're in the red zone, they've scored 17 out of the 19 times. And North Carolina's defense has been in a pretty bend but don't break mindset. You know, they give up a lot of yards. They give up a fair amount of points too, but it'll be interesting to see if they can keep them out. That being said, I only think they need one or two stops. I mean, Virginia Tech always has a great defense, you know, with Bud Foster there. They're always going to be good. But North Carolina, I mean, they may be the real deal this year. Their one loss to Georgia, there was a lot of questionable things that were happening in my mind there with some of the play calling, some of the way certain calls went one way or another. And the physicality of that game. And I think if they were to play that game again this week, I think North Carolina would beat them pretty soundly now that they've kind of settled in and seem to know what they're doing and know how to run the game in the middle quarters, which they didn't do so well against Georgia. So I think UNC is going to win this. That being said, Virginia Tech's one saving grace is they are coming off a bye week, so they will be plenty rested for this game.
Good point. Good point.
So this is kind of weird for me to say. We don't know much about Virginia Tech, despite this being the sixth week of the season, because they haven't really played that many teams. The one team that they really played that you could get a gauge against was Tennessee, and they gave up 5 turnovers in that game, and that was really what killed them. So, I mean, if we could predict turnovers going into this game, that would give you a definite heads up. That would give you a better idea, but sadly we can't. Because Virginia Tech is certainly not a bad team. I think they're very talented. They've got the defense to back them up. Their quarterback actually runs the offense very well. I don't know what the hell is wrong with their center. He seems to have some issues snapping the ball. But, yeah, I mean, they're not a bad team by any means. That said, I am going to go with UNC. UNC last year had that streak where it seemed like they hardly lost a game after a couple of bumps in the road very early on. And I picked them early in the year to go all the way to the championship, the ACC championship, rather. And I see them making it at least that far. And to do that, they're going to have to win against the Hokies. And also, it might be possibly biased because I have to drive over and stay with Andrew in November. So that might have something to do with it. Anyway, UNC, I got them. All right, so before we go into the personal games, I'm going to start with the one game that we brought Mike in for, which is Tennessee going on the road to Texas A&M. Now, I know I'm calling you, if you listened to the cast earlier, I'm changing the Vols to the Dukes of Hazzard. That's their new nickname for them. Because it seems like, every week we're just sitting there going, well, how are those Vols going to get out of this one?
Makes it exciting.
It's just a big TV drama, and yet somehow they always pull off more crazy stunts to end up winning the game. And yeah, and this week they're going on the road to Texas A&M. Texas A&M, I would say, struggled against South Carolina. The score is kind of misleading. They really were held in place the entire game against the South Carolina team, who is probably, if not the worst team in the SEC East, is certainly down there, the bottom two. So I don't think that was a game anybody was expecting out of Texas A&M. That said, they are going to be at home. That College Station is a very hard place to win at. And Tennessee is going to have an interesting matchup plan for that. That said, Dobbs became one with the universe after that Hail Mary last time. I don't know if y'all caught that when they asked him – they asked him what he was feeling after he made that play, and he was like, everything. But anyway, Tommy, I'll start with you. UT, Texas A&M, who you got?
The difference in this game is going to be Travion Williams, the freshman running back at Texas A&M. The guy's got 54 carries for 484 yards on the season, and that includes 5 carries for 15 yards against Prairie View. So most of his yards have come against UCLA, Auburn, Arkansas, and South Carolina, all three of which have respectable defenses. Auburn may not be a great team, but their defense is shown to be pretty good. Arkansas always has a pretty stout run defense. And South Carolina, Muschamp's showing that they're losing to mostly low-scoring games at South Carolina, so their defense is playing pretty well. So with that in mind, I think Travion Williams has another 100-yard game. I think he ends up with 2 touchdowns, and I think that 2 touchdowns is the difference in this one.
All right. Andrew, do you share Tommy's confidence in Texas A&M?
You know, I've picked Tennessee to lose, and they win. I picked Tennessee to win big, and they lose by the skin of the teeth. You know, I'm going to throw all caution to the wind. I think Tennessee wins it in some weird, fluky, crazy manner, because Tennessee is like that Auburn team from a couple years ago. They've just got that magic horseshoe up their ass, and they find a way to win the game.
I mean, true enough. I wish Nigel was here so I could rub it in his face. For y'all who don't know, Nigel, our other commentator, and I have a bet. I bet him that Tennessee would win at least 9 games this year, and it looks like I'm on track to win that bet. But anyway, Mike, this is your team. What would you? I can only assume you've got.
I have to agree with Andrew. I mean, as a Vol alum, I'm proud UT has all but locked up the weaker SEC East with the defeat of Georgia yesterday. By the way, kudos to UGA. They played a really great game. Nobody really expected them to come close to winning, and they did. And they played tough, and they played, you know, against a superior team. They played extremely well. But that game showed why in the SEC, no team is a sure bet to win against any SEC opponent on any given day. In the next 2 weeks, Tennessee plays the top 2 teams in the SEC West and in the SEC overall, and Texas A&M and Alabama. But the UGA game showed something that UT has been missing for the past 10 or 20 years. UT looks like the Vols of yore, of the olden days, with a totally, and I think Andrew referred to it, unpredictable running and passing game, which years ago would make UT such a difficult opponent. You just never knew. I mean, they come out on, you know, first down and throw a post pattern. I mean, it wasn't about getting a first down. It was about getting scores. Quarterback Hobbs looked almost like Condridge Holloway, University of Tennessee quarterback in the 70s. Holloway often gained 100 yards rushing in a game and another 500 yards running sideline to sideline. He would gain more yardage, but with every game, he would get laid out in the second quarter, rushed to the hospital, and then announcer John Ward would give updates every couple of minutes about Holloway's medical tests, cataclysmic injuries, and of course, administering last rites, and then asking all to pray for Holloway's survival with a moment of silence. Then miraculously, halfway through the third quarter, Holloway would sprint onto the field and lead the Vols to victory. He went on to play in the Canadian Football League, where the bigger field played to his scrambling abilities, and his drama major served him well. I believe Texas A&M's win over South Carolina was underwhelming. The Gamecocks have been playing from ladies' tees for years now. And I just can't imagine why Texas A&M moved up in the polls. So, you know, USC is second from the bottom, as one of you pointed out, in the weak SEC East. They should have beaten South Carolina by 30 points with everybody getting playing time. So, even though the game is on Texas A&M turf, I'm going to predict the Vols are going to win this, Vols by 8. And that will make the Tennessee-Alabama game the following week at Knoxville the biggest game of the year. That's it.
I think it's 2 weeks, isn't it?
Good enough.
Oh, close enough. All right, fair enough. Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, that's a pretty detailed description right there. So my situation is I've already got a bet riding on them. I've got total faith in this team. I kind of made the statement last week. I'm going to ride this team until they lose. And they just, every time, they find a way to win. Sometimes you have those miracle teams, and as Andrew pointed out, you know, Auburn a couple of years ago, where it just seemed like no matter what they did, as much as I hated it because they were Auburn, they would find ways to, crazy ways to win, you know. Like deflections off defenders into the hands of the receivers as the clock expired, you know, crazy things to win. If you're looking at a talent perspective, it's very close. Both these teams are very good at recruiting, and so it comes down to coaching and it comes down to home field advantage. But I'm going to give the edge to Tennessee. They haven't lost yet. They've shown us some incredible things. I'm looking forward to some incredible things this week. So I'm going to take Tennessee. Now, Mike, I know that's your personal game, but we're going to move on to our personal games of the week. So, Tommy, Andrew, have you had a chance to pick one out yet? I'll start off with Andrew if you're ready to go.
So, raise your hand if you thought at the beginning of October that the Colorado Buffaloes would be the top team in the Pac-12 South.
No hands, right?
Yeah. You know, Colorado, it's really, especially on that side, has been the surprise team. You know, they knocked off a good Oregon team on the road. They blew out Oregon State last week. You know, I picked that as my game, and I picked the Buffaloes. You know, and I'm going to stick with Ralphie. I think Colorado goes into USC, into the Coliseum, and knocks off the Trojans and keeps rolling in the Pac-12 South. And it really shows that Mike McIntyre's done a great job rebuilding that Buffalo program. You know, and I think it also kind of pushes USC further down into just the collapse that we've seen from them this year.
I'm going to be honest. I'm surprised you didn't pick against Oregon State again this week.
You know, it's really not fun to make fun of the handicapped child.
I mean, yeah. So, statement either on how good Colorado is or how far USC has fallen.
You know, I think it'll be a big statement game for Colorado. You know, no one expected them to beat Oregon. Everyone expected them to beat Oregon State. So, this is kind of the new, okay, we can have some expectations for Colorado and let's see what happens.
Yeah, give them some extra downs. Give them more chances. Tommy.
You know, first thing I want to say is I think USC, after their win against their big win against Arizona State, comes out strong. So I think this game ends up being close regardless of who wins. I think they're turning a corner. For my game this week, I am going for an interesting pick. According to ESPN's FPI ratings, The BYU Cougars and the Michigan State Spartans have an exactly equal 50% chance of winning. And if you actually look down the stats of these two teams, they're actually pretty close. The difference is that Michigan State's defense looks to be a little bit better, giving up an average of 100 yards less a game. But I think BYU ends up winning this, and I think it's because they're averaging – of their balanced attack is something that Michigan State isn't as well built for. I think Michigan State is built around stuffing the run and then dealing with the afterthought of the pass or selling out to stop the pass and then giving up the run. The way they are playing this year, you know, against Notre Dame, heavy pass team, and then they played Wisconsin, who throttled them, heavy run-based team. BYU is a heavy, is a not a heavy anything team. They're a very balanced passing and rush team. And I think they end up winning it because of that.
You gonna? Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't sure if you'd finished your statement there for a second. All right. Well, I'm going to follow Andrew's trend of picking very easy games. I'm not going to pick against Oregon State, but I am going to pick against an Oregon team. I think after Washington's beatdown of Stanford last week, I got to follow that. I got to follow that train. The Huskies are rolling, so I'm going to take Washington over Oregon. Pretty straightforward. Oregon's been falling apart, and Washington is probably the best team in the Pac-12 right now, if they can keep their stuff together on the road. I'll see how it turns out. Okay. All right, so we're into our last matchup of the week. I guess the primetime matchup for kind of a flat week of football. We're looking at FSU going on the road to Miami, and I think for the Noles fans, this rivalry has never meant more, maybe to Miami as well. Miami is still undefeated. Mark Richt is the head coach, coming in and has really motivated the fan base there, if no one else, to get hyped up about this Miami team. And, of course, FSU has just kind of fallen apart. So, really, this is Miami's chance to strike at the heart of Florida State and kind of take the rivalry, maybe even take the state. I don't think they get the chance to play Florida, but this will be a big deal to them if they can win the matchup. All right, Tommy, you're kind of looking to the side. Who you got? Who you got? Florida State or Miami?
You know, the way Florida State's been playing recently, it makes me want to pick Miami. I just can't bring myself to do it. Kind of looking down the stat line for them. You know, even with how poor Florida State's been doing, they're still, when they're in the red zone, they score 96% of the time, as opposed to Miami's 80%. You know, they've both teams have gone for 2 fourth down conversion attempts. Florida State's got both. Miami's only done it once. They're both at 45% on their third down conversions. The big difference has been turnovers, though. So Florida State has 6 turnovers and 2 fumbles lost, as opposed to Miami's 2 fumbles and 5 interceptions. So if Florida State holds onto the ball, I think they end up winning this game, and I think they will. I think Jimbo's kind of getting tired of it, and he'll kind of have his fiery speech and get them in line. And I don't think Miami's as good as their rating is. I mean, they beat a Georgia Tech team that I believe is completely falling apart. And they beat them off of 2 back-to-back fumbles for a touchdown. So that's not really anything to judge off of.
Thanks for railing on us again, Tommy. It's always appreciated.
Georgia Tech is terrible.
We should fire the coach and hire Andrew. I heard somebody say that. All right. Speaking of which, Andrew, FSU, Miami, Mark Richt, hate his guts. I know you don't. Who you got?
You know, one of the big knocks about Richt at Georgia is they said he couldn't win the big games. You know, I think this is really going to be a coming out party for Miami. Well, I watched them last week. They didn't impress me very much. You know, Tommy thinks Georgia Tech's terrible. I think we're a little bit better than terrible. We're kind of mediocre. You know, and they really didn't impress me. What, you know, Georgia Tech was able to run the ball fairly well against that Miami defense. You know, the Miami offense looked all right. You know, Brad Kai is obviously a pretty good player, but you know, I think Dalvin Cook is going to be able to have a pretty good game on the ground against this Miami defense. And I think, like Tommy said, you know, I think that Jimbo is really going to kind of drill down into his guys, because I mean, Florida State's got talent. It's just being able to do something with that talent. They lost a good bit of guys off of last year's team. You know, it kind of sucks, because I really like the DC at Florida State, Charles Kelly. I think he's a pretty good defensive coordinator. Obviously, he's had kind of a rough season so far this year, but I think this is really a right the ship game for the Seminoles, and I think they come out and win it. And I think you start hearing that chirping again about Mark Richt can't win big games.
All right, fair enough. Let's go on to you, Mike. Who do you have?
Well, you know, I'm going to pick Miami here. Miami is undefeated at 4-0 with wins against such powerhouses as Florida A&M and, you know, Florida Atlantic, which I had no idea really had a football team. And but Mark Richt has really invigorated the University of Miami football program, and I think he's going to make that program great again if he can just keep the players out of jail, which has been an historical problem at Miami. But I think he will. You know, I think Florida State's overall record thus far has not been that strong, not that distinguishable. It's going to be at Miami, and I think that with the support that Richt is getting, that Miami is going to squeeze this one out. And I've got Miami by 2.
Okay. With respect, we are talking about a FSU team that beat Ole Miss. Granted, it was basically at home. And, you know, their biggest loss was to Louisville, who's one of the top teams in the nation, and then they lost to UNC. I don't see the lack of record as far as FSU goes. My thing, though, is going back to Miami, you really got to have a huge home field advantage if you're going to overcome the talent levels that FSU has. You know, as much as we applaud Miami and their recruiting system and all the talent they have in the NFL, they've done very poorly in recruiting in the past few years. FSU just towers over them with that talent. And, I mean, it doesn't take a great deal of coaching by Jimbo Fisher to lead them against the Miami. It might be closer than I think some people think. But I'm going to go against FSU, and I do this with a really tough heart. Not because Mike is my godfather, but because our guest pickers outpick us so frequently, and we're just setting ourselves up to fail again. Picking. But anyway, we'll see how it plays out. I'm going to go with FSU, dig the grave of my football picking record, and see how it plays out this week.
Well, you do know that in Tallahassee, there are 6 major prisons there. And second only to the university population is the prison population. But, you know, Tallahassee's got that going for him, I guess.
Sorry, I was about to say something about Miami, but I feel like it would have been pretty racist. And since Nigel's not here, we can't say that. Anyway, guys, any additional comments you want to throw in there before we head out?
Yeah, the one key thing I want to point out in the difference in this game is going to be the fact that Florida State is a more penalized team on the year than Miami is, with almost twice the amount of penalties as Miami committed. And as I talked about in our last segment, team that is more penalized usually wins games. So you got to pick with Florida State based off that.
Tommy, you and your useless stats.
Good contrarian there. Like that.
Oh, you missed his useless stats. Apparently penalized teams win. Go figure. All right. Well, with that said, I don't think there's any other big matchups going on. Any shout outs you want to give real fast?
Yeah, US won the Ryder Cup today. First U.S. Ryder Cup win since 2006. Suck on that, Europe.
There you go.
We're better than continent at golf.
Shout out to Pat Sandor, Logan's dad, best man in the world. We've done lots of good duck hunting together and training dogs and all sorts of fun, shooting skeet and trap. And by golly, there's not a story we can tell that hasn't been exaggerated.
True that. I know from personal experience. I want to give a shout out to Josh. I wasn't at his what's the proper term, Tommy?
Baby shower?
Yeah, baby shower. I wasn't at his baby shower, but he's got a baby on the way. I say him because he is the woman in the relationship. So I congratulations, Josh, and I hope it's a healthy, happy baby. And Tommy just looks like he wants to get the hell out of here. So I guess we're gonna close up shop. All right, thank you as always for listening out there. If you want to send us a question or have us talk about a particular team, you can shoot me an email at toemeatleather@gmail.com. And if you'd like to see more of our posts and comments, check us out at toemeatsleather.net. Until next week, have a good rest of your day, everybody. Bye-bye.